City Talk.
The Kickoff with Steve Hothersall.
Let's have a chat with the Liverpool Echo sports editor, David Prentice. Morning, Ciprano.
Morning, Steve. You all right?
Yeah, let's talk Everton. Now, a week ago, I sent you a little text, said, do you want to come on, talk about that end-of-season parade? You said, oh, gosh, that's going to be interesting. How things change in a week. And actually, there was a pretty nice mood at Goodison Park yesterday.
There was definitely, there was a real lightness about the place that clearly wouldn't have been there if the old manager had still been in situ. I mean, somebody different in the dugout obviously made a difference. The fact that David Unsworth chose to introduce a couple of young players as well certainly helped. And, you know, Tom Davis especially, you know, sort of caught the eye. And, yeah, it just created a much lighter mood around the stadium. And as a result, you know, Tim Howard was able to get that that emotional send-off that he wanted and deserved. It was a pleasant way to end what's been a fairly grim season.
I think that was important for Tim Howard. There's been moments this season where, and you'll remember, there was moments where he turned round and almost had a head-on war with members of the crowd, you know, sort of verbally battling with them because people were so much on his back. Unfortunately, yeah, That's been pushed to one side.
It has. I mean, I was there that day. It was quite entertaining, really, but unnecessary. I mean, he turned and gave a withering stare after he caught a routine cross and was met with ironic cheers. And he's admitted, you know, in subsequent interviews that, yeah, you know, maybe he shouldn't have done that. He says, but, you know, he cares. The crowd care. And he says, you know, he understands their feelings. He understands why they reacted the way they did. Hopefully they understand why he reacted the way he did. But I mean, that's all long since they're being put to bed. And he did look genuinely emotional at the final whistle. You know, there were clearly the tears in his eyes. I think Darren Griffiths was trying to interview him on the pitch, and you could tell he was feeling the moment. Mm. So yeah, it was a decent way to send off a guy who's been, you know, very, very important to Everton for the last 10 years.
Good luck to him on his next step, of course, in the MLS. I think it's been the oddest season for Everton because if you analyse it as a whole, for the first half of it, we heard all this, you know, these are the greatest players we've seen since the 80s, which was obviously not true anyway, yeah. But it sort of showed there was promise within the squad. And at the same time, there's always been rumblings in the background, even from day one, the very first day. It was Ross Barkley who was sort of getting it in the neck on the home game, wasn't it? It's had sort of very strange undertones, this campaign.
It goes back even further than that, I think. I mean, we were trying to think over the last couple of days, you know, when the turning point of, you know, the Martinez regime was, because obviously that first season was very, very promising. And for me, it was probably goes back as far as, you know, the opening home game of not this season, but last season, when Everton were 2-0 up against Arsenal, you know, absolutely coasting, looking sensational, and then conceded 2 sloppy goals, as they'd done at Leicester a couple of, you know, days previously, and ended up dropping vital points. And that was an issue which has never ever been addressed since. So despite all the really, you know, sort of entertaining football that we saw in the first half of the season, there was always that undercurrent that this, you know, side is going to let things, you know, fritter away. They're not absolutely as, you know, sort of concrete at the back as they should be. Even the big wins, you know, the Sunderland game when Everton won 6-2 this season, conceded a couple of goals and could have conceded more. You think back to the Wolfsburg game, which Roberto Martinez, you know, hails as one of the high points. You know, so Everton beat them home and away, you know, so 4-1 at Goodison. But that was the most ridiculously wide open game I can ever imagine. And Tim Howard, I think he made about a dozen saves that game. You know, he kept Everton in it for long periods. So yeah, they always flattered to deceive, you know, so throughout much of the last 18 months. It has been weird. And, you know, it could have been a very different season, just fine margins again. You think of the, you know, the two semi-finals, you know, leading 1-0 at Manchester City and then a dodgy refereeing decision goes against them. The Manchester United semi-final, again, an awful first-half performance, but then turned it around in the second. And again, could have been so different, but it wasn't. And that's because, you know, ultimately the team wasn't good enough, the squad wasn't good enough, and the manager wasn't good enough.
Yeah, I think one of the most important arrivals at the club of late is Farhad Moshiri. And I think he's had a little bit of settling in time, but we're probably going to see someone who, having come from Arsenal and seen how it's done at maybe a different end of the scale, is hopefully going to impose his thoughts and his processes on Everton. There's quite an amusing photo. I don't know whether you've seen it on Twitter. He stood next to a young gentleman who's obviously asked for a selfie, and then he's holding up a sheet saying, "We want Mourinho," in front of him, which I think is absolutely brilliant, because Farhad's almost looking down at it going, Have you stitched me up here?
Yeah, but that's happened a couple of times to him now as well. I think he's been, you know, left in no uncertain terms. You know, so the ambition that Evertonians have for the club, and they're trying to make him fully aware of that. I'm told that his train journeys back to London after the matches, you know, he's regularly buttonholed by Everton fans, and so told what they want. And clearly, they want a really ambitious managerial appointment. I mean, I wrote myself last week that I think they should be looking at that Mourinho, and we're led to believe they have tried to sound him out. You know, it's probably unlikely, because the suggestion is that Manchester United, you know, are in pole position to get his services next, depending on what happens with Louis van Gaal. But, you know, you've got to, you know, go to the very top. And if that doesn't come up, well, you know, so look next one along. Everton have got to make a really ambitious appointment, because the squad is largely very, very good. It's unbalanced for me. You know, you look at, you know, the problems of having the right-back position throughout the course of the season. But, you know, there is an awful lot of talent there. And, you know, for the manager that comes in, it gives him a great base to work on.
I think Everton have suffered through a lack of ambition, haven't they, in, I don't know, 10, 15 years. If you only went back to when David Moyes left and looked at the list of managers they were possibly looking at, it didn't really sort of feel like Everton Football Club, at least when you're seeing the names linked now when Roberto's left. You're thinking, well, this is more like it. And maybe that has come from the top. Maybe that is a Moshiri influence.
Hopefully, yeah. I mean, he hasn't said very much at the moment, as you say. We're not sure, you know, exactly what his, you know, what he wants, you know, what his process is going to be. But it's funny, talking about ambition, I mean, I was at Aintree Racecourse on Friday night, and David Moyes was there in one of the stands, and the number of Everton fans that came over to me saying, he's not coming back,
as opposed to, is he?
They don't want to look backwards. They want something completely fresh, you know, so they want a really ambitious, driven appointment. Jose Mourinho fits that bill, I would suggest, so would Manuel Pellegrini. Ronald Koeman certainly would. You know, there are, you know, high-level managerial names out there that Everton can chase, and I hope that they do, you know, sort of land one of them.
Well, what about Frank de Boer? Obviously left Ajax, and I mentioned before to MJ, by all accounts, his last season and a half at Ajax had been pretty hopeless. Lots of cracks started appearing there. But of course, someone who was very much sort of linked to the Liverpool job not so long ago, and the likes of sort of Manchester United and some of the top London clubs as well.
Yeah, I mean, he's clearly, you know, got talent and got a reputation that's been well built. But I think it would be more of a gamble, given the fact that he's never managed in the Premier League. You know, his successes have all come in Holland. But, you know, he clearly wants the job, and he's highly thought of. Michael Ball, a columnist of ours, worked with him at PSV, I think it was, and spoke very, very highly of him. So, you know, yeah, the guy clearly has something to offer, but personally, I'd prefer them to go down a more tried and trusted route, somebody that had achieved success in the Premier League previously.
I was just thinking, David Moyes would have been at Aintree because of Deacon Blue, wouldn't he? Scots, all Scots together.
Indeed, yeah. He does have an interest in horses as well, so there was a race meeting before Deacon Blue. So.
Next thing on at Goodison Park, of course, will be the boxing. Which is fabulous, isn't it? I think for the city.
Wait.
And actually to stage something like that at one of our football grounds. This should be something. We should have this every year at both football clubs.
Well, you know what? It's 1949. It's the last time that either football stadium, you know, staged a major boxing event in the city, which is a hell of a long time. And, you know, looking at the way tickets are flying, I mean, they've already sold 12,000. They've opened up two more stands, you know, to accommodate demand. There's going to be easily 25,000 there that night, because it is an event. It's a bank holiday weekend. People are really intrigued by it. And I remember, funny enough, as I'm talking now, Creed is the advert for Creed flashing up on the screen on telly here. And that was such a plug for the city. I mean, that was like so well done, and it just made you think, you know, what if, you know, so could they really bring that to fruition? Well, they have, and you know, I suspect it'll look a little different on the night to it looked in the movie, but you know, the atmosphere will be something similar, and it'll be great. I mean, it's a tough ask for Tony. I mean, that it's a real, you know, so difficult opponent he's taken on, but he's in the place he wants to be, you know, his spiritual home, if you like. If he can't get inspiration boxing there, he won't get inspiration anywhere.
How many tickets are we talking about, David, for that night?
They don't know yet. They haven't put a cap on it, but you know, I think that it could be 30,000 plus. You know, if the demand is there, I think it will be. I mean, initially they opened up the Gladys Street section, that's completely sold. So they've opened up the main stand and the Bullens Road now, and they will continue to sell until they've gone. If they go, we may even see the parking brought into use. Yeah, you know, it is going to be, you know, sort of a really, you know, sort of real buzz about the place, a really good atmosphere.
Can't wait for it. Just a final thought, front page of the Echo today, and of course, leading our news as well. The City Council and Everton confirmed today that Walton Hall Park is a no-go for a new stadium for the Blues. I don't think that's any massive surprise. You know, I think we would have heard things earlier, had something going to come to fruition with that one. An ambitious scheme, so yeah. says the statement that's been released. But of course, it takes everything back to sort of stage one again, doesn't it?
It does. I mean, that plan, if you like, in inverted commas, was always came with lots and lots of caveats attached. I mean, there was always suggestions from Everton that, you know, they would need significant help from the City Council to get that up and running, in financial help as well. And I don't think that was ever likely to happen. The most interesting thing that came from Joe Anderson this morning is that he expects Everton to have a new stadium in 3 years. You know, you might have plucked that figure out of, you know, thin air. He'd have spoken to people, and you know, he'll have a reason for saying that. And I thought that was really interesting. I mean, it's clearly something else, you know, sort of must be on the back burner. Something else must be planned. You know, for him to have that kind of level of conviction. So very, very interested in that.
Maybe that's the Moshiri influence again that we were talking about.
I hope so, yeah, because, you know, clearly it's vital to Everton's future, that. I mean, they need a new stage, and that generates income, it generates interest from abroad, it brings in new players, and it's been far too long in the back burner. We all love Goodison Park. It is such a character-filled stadium. It's got such a unique feel to it. But, you know, unfortunately, you have to look forward. Mm. And, you know, that is the next thing, I think, on Everton's hit list.
You can read plenty more about that in The Echo today. Walton Hall Park stadium plans shelf. Prenner, thank you very much indeed.
You're welcome. Cheers, Steve.
Take care. David Prentice, sport editor at the Liverpool Echo.
This is Radio City Talk. Rock, sport and talk for Liverpool.